Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. We look forward to the dialogue and discussion on the issues of the day. As we face the issues, may I remind you again that we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. It is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm speaking of the Bible, never gets outdated. It's never to be cast aside and viewed as we need to jettison it off because our society has grown beyond that. And that's the philosophy of many, many today in Christian circles, that we need to jettison off the Ten Commandments. They do not apply to the Christian today, Andy Stanley says. Then we have those that says the Old Testament is not relevant today, and the Lord's Prayer needs to be updated. And I could go on and on and on with the modern discussion, the diatribe in relationship to a rejection of the Word of God. And as one writer said, all that we're faced with today started with the rejection of the Word of God. And we need to look at very carefully where we are and go back to the rudimentary, fundamental, foundational, elemental reasons for the recognition of where we are today. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." Further, he makes a declaratory statement. John 17:17, the Lord Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. In fact, in Psalms 117, verse 2, it says the truth of the Lord endures forever. It never fails. It never falters. It never fades. It should always be foremost in all that we think, say, or do. It was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, Orwell said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." We find that to be relative today, truthful today, absolute today, because when it comes to Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and AOC and the other three and those in the loose, lax, lost liberal left, as I call it, their philosophy is they just do as they please, and truth is absolutely irrelevant. It's the reason I find that we need to go back to a fundamental, elemental fact about truth. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that made this statement: "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And I challenge you, our listeners, each and every day with that directive. Seek the truth. You won't find it on Communist Network News. Listen to the truth. You won't find it on the television broadcast networks. Learn the truth. Love the truth. Tell the truth. Live it. Defend it. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to defend the truth. Even we have to stand and face life or death as a result of what we say based on the truth of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about backup power equipment. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find it? There's a gigantic 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7 at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. Find the flag. The base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. But ladies and gentlemen, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It has a family-friendly environment. They're closed on Sundays, allowing the Tools for Time staff to be off on Sunday, worship in the house of God with the children of God, place of God as God would have it, for you and your family. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview appointment, see what God does placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, lest I forget it, the telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you're tuned in by way of internet, that area code is 904-831-0917. That telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, comment, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. We're talking about today, living in Sodom. You say, what? Living in Sodom, if you want to call it the United States of Sodom. That's where we are today. It's becoming more and more prevalent, more and more visible and recognizable. But ladies and gentlemen, that's what's taking place. And it's as a result being exacerbated, accentuated, and focused on today, more perhaps because of the recent Supreme Court adjudications. By the way, something that most are not aware of is that the Supreme Court cannot make law. They're not the legislative branch. We have three branches of government. Our founding fathers designed it so there's the tension and stress between each of the branches of government. We have the legislative branch that makes the laws. We have the executive branch that is over recognition of our Constitution and carrying out the president's responsibility in protecting and defending our borders and making sure that the United States of America is protected. Then you have the judiciary branch where they listen to charges and complaints based on, is it constitutional? And the U.S. Supreme Court's responsibility is to make an adjudication based on that which has been brought before them. Is it constitutional with what this law says and what it intends to do? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the end of this U.S. Supreme Court session, the three major opinions that I want to talk about for just a moment before we get to the elements of what we're saying today of living in Sodom. U.S. Supreme Court handed down three opinions. All they can do is render an opinion. They can't render a legislative act. They can render an opinion based on laws and legislation that's gone before them. But ladies and gentlemen, the three very, very important decisions or opinions that's handed down. The U.S. Supreme Court overturned the strict New York gun law that banned weapons in the state of New York. Ladies and gentlemen, that had been in place for many, many years. Very, very restrictive. You want to get a concealed weapons permit, you'd have to go through a major process. And some had testified that it took them years to fill out the documents, pay the fees, go before hearing boards, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to get approved. You had to be able to prove that your life perhaps was in danger. You had to prove that you needed to carry a weapon to protect your life because of some threat or some difficulty that may happen at any moment. You had to prove that those things existed in the state of New York. That's an infringement on the Second Amendment right. This article says the U.S. Supreme Court rules that New York's concealed carry gun law is unconstitutional, and it recognizes the right to carry a weapon in public. Justice Thomas law vowed the law, that's talking about the law in New York, the law violates Constitution, the Constitution, by preventing law-abiding citizens from defending themselves in public. The Supreme Court voted 6-3 on June 23rd to strike down New York State's draconian concealed carry gun permitting system on unconstitutional grounds, recognizing for the first time, a constitutional right to carry a firearm in public for self-defense. The ruling is a sweeping victory for the Second Amendment gun ownership rights and may help to undo restrictive gun control laws outside of New York State, possibly including so-called red flag laws, which allow the confiscation of guns in certain circumstances without limited due process. The Second Amendment states, quote, a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed upon. Ladies and gentlemen, that's one of the major decisions by the U.S. Supreme Court in this judiciary segment. And I'm thankful for that. But ladies and gentlemen, that wasn't the only major. They made a number of decisions, but that wasn't the only one. The other major decision they made was for Coach Joe Kennedy. 5 years ago, Coach Kennedy took a position that after a game, not before game, not enticing or inviting or stating that the football players had to kneel with him and pray, but just simply quietly by himself on the 50-yard line, Coach Joe Kennedy would kneel, bow his head in a silent prayer before God. Now, only God knows what Joe Kennedy said in his prayers. That's irrelevant. But the fact that the school fired him, first of all, they told him that he needed to stop. He said no. They then said they would suspend him if he didn't. He continued to kneel and pray. Then they fired him, summarily fired him, because of his constitutional right, his constitutional liberty, his freedom of religion to bow and pray. But they said because it was on school property, it was federal property, and therefore he did not have the right to pray publicly on federal property because it could be viewed as the state, i.e. the government, approving and putting the stamp of approval on a Christian prayer. So, ladies and gentlemen, the Supreme Court ruled that was unconstitutional and that the coach had the privilege, the right, to be able to pray. And so, ladies and gentlemen, that was a good decision, and I believe it's a wonderful decision because what it does, ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully, what the Coach Joe Kennedy case does, this will destroy the so-called wall of separation church and state rule that's been used as the cudgel to beat Christians in the head for many, many, many years now. There's always been that, well, the wall of separation of church and state, we can't have you to do that in public. We can't have you to pray, can't have you reading the Bible, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because it might induce others to do so. And God forbid that you induce someone to pray or to read the Bible, was the mindset. But now, ladies and gentlemen, the far-reaching implication of the Coach Joe Kennedy decision by the U.S. Supreme Court is that no more, no longer can a school or a business or any other institution say that the separation of church and state will not allow you to be able to pray publicly, to pray silently, or to pray on the grounds of a public facility, or i.e. a school. And with Joe Kennedy, he didn't invite others to come pray, but it wound up after years of doing that, many of the students would come and kneel with him. Other faculty members would come and kneel with him. But ladies and gentlemen, as a result of that decision, it says to the nation that the freedom of religion is still real, relevant, and active, and Christians can depend on it. That's the far-reaching implications of that decision. The third major decision, opinion of the U.S. Supreme Court in this court session was that the Supreme Court ruled that the Roe versus Wade decision in 1973 that allowed about 65 million human beings to be murdered in the mother's womb. They overturned that, ladies and gentlemen, In fact, Dr. James Dobson says, quote, Roe was built on a lie. And he celebrates the end of Roe versus Wade, the issues that he calls now people to new action. Dr. James Dobson, a leader in the pro-life movement for decades, is thanking God for the nationwide pro-life victory for the Supreme Court decision on Friday. Roe was egregiously wrong from the start. We have just received the news for which we have been praying and working. After nearly 50 years, a majority of the Supreme Court justices who refused to be intimidated by threats and violence have finally struck down Roe versus Wade, according to a statement issued by Dr. James Dobson. Quote, Roe was built on a lie, and somewhere hidden in our Constitution there existed a right to destroy children in the womb. The ruling in 1973 shocked the nation and divided the country. It was an exercise of raw judicial power, Dr. Dobson says. History will judge it as one of the court's most shameful moments. But now the court has corrected that mistake, according to Dr. James Dobson, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, Roe versus Wade overturned. Supremes call 1973 decision an abuse of judicial authority. Now, the article that I just read previously was by Dr. James Dobson, not a Supreme Court justice, not a judge, but a Christian. He said it was based on a lie, the decision of 1973. Now, listen to this, these statements from the U.S. Supreme Court justices themselves. U.S. Supreme Court in their 6-3 decision on Friday overturned the 1973 abortion precedents set in Roe versus Wade, a move that now will return the oversight of the nation's abortion industry to the individual states. Roe was egregiously wrong from the start. Its reasoning was exceptionally weak, and the decision has had damaging consequences, the court majority said. Quote, it is time to heed the Constitution and return the issues of abortion back to the people and the elected representatives. The court bluntly says the Constitution, ladies and gentlemen, this is coming from the majority of the Supreme Court justices. The Constitution does not confer a right of abortion. Roe and Casey, that's the two different cases they were ruling on, are overruled. And the authority to regulate abortion to return to the people and their elected leaders, according to this writing, this article. The opinion said, that's the U.S. Supreme Court opinion, the Constitution makes no reference to abortion at all. No such right has ever been implicitly protected by any constitutional provision, including the one which the defenders of Roe and Casey now chiefly rely. The Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment, that is not in effect in the case of abortion. The right to abortion does not fall within this category at all, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, what we see taking place today as a result of that, let me just say this to you. As a result of these three Supreme Court decisions and the several other decisions, these are the three most imperative, important, overshadowing decisions they've made that will affect life and the liberty of the citizens in America for the next multitude of years. It now has all three of those decisions have the loose likes lost liberals on the left screaming with hair on fire that the world's coming to an end because of those decisions. The Constitution, according to the justices, does not give a right to privacy to murder a child in the mother's womb, according to the 6-3 decision on the Supreme Court. And they made four major, major statements that I want to dwell on for our transition of where we're going, which is being exacerbated in lifestyle and living today based on these Supreme Court rulings, decisions that I've just reviewed. Roe was egregiously wrong from the start, one of the justices said. Secondly, the Roe versus Wade decision was exceptionally weak, and the decision what has had damaging consequences in America. And that's putting it mildly. When that justice said it's had damaging consequences in America, we've murdered approximately 65 million human beings in the mother's womb. So, ladies and gentlemen, it has had almost 50 years it's had major extenuating circumstances, damaging circumstances. And ladies and gentlemen, the third thing that the Supreme Court justices said, it's time to heed the Constitution. Time to heed the Constitution. Listen very carefully. We have a number of folks today that are the woke cancel culture society that says the Constitution was written by a group of old white men. And as a result of that, it is stodgy. It is moss grown. It is old. It is an ancient document. And it has no value in society today. It needs to be jettisoned. And we need to rewrite the Constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, some of those same people, some of those same mindsets, say the same thing about the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. That God's Word is not valid today because it's old, written by a bunch of white men, and therefore, and by the way, that's an incorrect statement for anybody to make, but they've made it. And it, therefore, the Bible is old, needs to be rewritten or just jettisoned, that with modern culture we realize that much of what the Bible says ought not to be applicable today. And so, ladies and gentlemen, that is what the judges have said, the justices. It's time to heed the Constitution. I said it's time to heed the Constitution and the Word of God. And fourthly, they said, very bruntly and very to the point, the judges said, and I quote, the Constitution does not confer a right of abortion to anyone, end quote. But ladies and gentlemen, across America today, there's rage. Across America today, there's the loose likes lost left that are absolutely coming unhinged on Americans, on churches, on places of worship, on the Christian centers for the right to life, et cetera, et cetera. There's rage. There's the mindset that we're going to just simply burn America down, that we're going to destroy the nation. And there's the mindset also, ladies and gentlemen, as a result of the Roe versus Wade decision being upended, overturned, reversed by the conservative Supreme Court. We have those today that are simply have simply gone totally crazy. Across America today, ladies and gentlemen, we see and we hear witnesses, and we witness those events of what I call vile, vulgar, visceral, verbal, visual, absolute rage today. Just recently, in Seattle, Washington, an entire entourage of sodomites, men, nude on bicycles, riding in circles in the city square, with what appeared to be in the video footage, hundreds and hundreds of families, moms and dads, men and women, with sons and daughters, little boys and little girls, looked like 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 years old, all standing, laughing, applauding, and gazing at nude men circling on their bicycles like clowns in a circus and being applauded. By the way, in Seattle, Washington, there's a law that allows nudity. But you would think that that would not be anything in a culture today. This article says, and I'll read the headlines, gay men strip naked in front of children in the Seattle Pride show. One says, Seattle allows public nudity. Actually, nobody is doing anything wrong, one observer said in that with that event. Another one says, once upon a time, there was consequences for indecent exposure, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that shows where we are today. It's the reason I'm calling this broadcast, and it's very, very serious. I'm calling this broadcast Living in Sodom. What we see taking place today, and they're using the excuse that it's because of the Supreme Court ruling in relationship to Roe versus Wade. They're using that as the excuse. What has not been reported on most network television and radio is that approximately 50-plus churches, religious organizations, pro-life centers have been firebombed, broken into, vandalized, destroyed in some fashion, are marred in some way with vulgar graffiti, graffiti, on the sides of the buildings. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the demise of the America that we've known for centuries. We're watching the demise of morals and ethics and values in our great nation. It is, as Decision Magazine in April said in one of the articles, it's not too late for Christians to awaken from their slumber and realize that we're in a pitched battle with forces beyond our comprehension, and at stake are the precious eternal lives of our own children and grandchildren. And that's the focus, ladies and gentlemen. That's the focus today that we're watching take place in our nation. Rage from those that are screaming out for more freedom to commit acts of sins, acts of immorality, acts that are unbiblical, unholy, ungodly. Ladies and gentlemen, the sodomite LGBTQ agenda is in open sight today in Washington, Seattle, Washington, with the nude LGBTQ bike riders parading in protest of the courts. They're claiming that it's because they're protesting because of the Supreme Court's decision about Roe versus Wade. It was just simply an excuse to get out in their nudity as LGBTQ sodomite men and allowing families. And ladies and gentlemen, it staggers my imagination that any mother, any father, any family member, any adult would allow their child to be exposed to such radical agenda as the gay agenda today. It's called gay, nothing gay about it. Highest level of suicide, highest level of depression, founded the sodomite lifestyle community. It is not a gay community at all, ladies and gentlemen. But where, as a result of the Roe versus Wade wrong decision of 1973 being revisited and overturned, this is taking place under that guise. Ladies and gentlemen, U.S. Congresswoman Maxine Waters said that the U.S. Supreme Court should be eradicated. Maxine Waters screaming to the top of her lungs, talking about in vile, vain, vulgar terms about the U.S. Supreme Court and how it is absolutely wrong with what the Supreme Court has just done. But ladies and gentlemen, what we're watching today, they're using that as an excuse to eradicate any other restraints in America on the loose, lax, lost living in our nation. Looking at an article that says, government giving a month of celebration to what America, American law, and the Bible condemns. It should be of interest to the American people to know that what the government is doing today is allowing to be advocated by the people is against the laws of our union, as well as the one established in governmental institutions, which in turn makes them criminal. No enactment of man can be considered law unless it conforms to the law of God, according to William Blackstone. William Blackstone wrote the first law dictionary. And ladies and gentlemen, any law that does not conform to the law of God is an unlawful act, an unlawful law that lawful citizens ought not to have any requirement to adhere to. And yet we find multitudes of Christians today saying, well, it's the government. We need to obey what the government said. Not so, ladies and gentlemen, unless the government is in submission and subjection to the law of God. God is the ultimate lawgiver. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break for just 1 minute. We're coming right back as we continue to face the issues. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.